I'd like you to take your Bibles with me this morning to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I mentioned this at the end of our Sunday school lesson a week ago. I did a little more study on this, and I felt impressed of the Lord to emphasize something here as far as the working of the Holy Spirit in relation to the world. I want you to notice here, John chapter 16, verses 7 and following. In fact, let's look at that verse 5 to give us the full context here. John chapter 16, verse 5 and following, as we read into the passage that I want to look at here this morning. John chapter 16, verse 5, "But now I go my way to him that sent me," of course, back to his heavenly Father, "none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And I want you to notice here the twofold ministry of the Holy Spirit in this context. First of all, for the believer, he gives comfort. You notice here the working of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Notice he comes to comfort us in all our tribulation, as we understand earlier in the chapter and chapter 15 and so on, as far as persecution. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. The Lord knows how quickly we can receive and accept the truth that he has for us. Now, I want you to notice again the working of the Holy Spirit. Again, for believers, he's the Comforter. But notice for the world, he reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The word reprove means to prove again. I want you to consider how often the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has to reprove things as far as the world is concerned. But again, you notice here the working of the Holy Spirit here is reproving the world. Now, as we go out to witness, I want you to consider, as we go out to witness, we better make sure we have the working of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, because otherwise we're just trying to win an argument with the unsaved person around us. I want you to consider here, the Holy Spirit is the one who brings the conviction, not me. It's not my methods. It's not what I do. It's not how I present the gospel. I am to present the truth, but the Holy Spirit is the one that reproves the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. As you consider the world here, I want you to notice here Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want for us to consider here today what we have to deal with in relation to the world as we seek to present the gospel and so on. Because, again, the Holy Spirit is wanting to do this work, is wanting to use us. The word reprove means to convince, to charge with a fault. I want you to consider here that we must be careful how we present the truth, but at the same time, the truth is going to offend. The Holy Spirit can take the truth that we present and bring conviction to their hearts. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." We have to remember that unsaved person that we talk to is dead in their trespasses. Their spirit is dead. Now, we get used to having new life in Christ, and we forget what it's like to not have new life in Christ. "You have been quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, notice this as far as the world is concerned. "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved." And drop down to verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But again, you notice here in verse 2, it says, "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." You know, as you think about the picture that's on the bridge to heaven track, you think about the course of this world. Multitudes are just following the path of this world. Again, you notice who's in charge of this. The prince of the power of the air. If you don't believe he's not the prince of the power of the air, just turn and just kind of do a survey through the radio stations every once in a while. He's the prince of the power of the air. If it's not rock music, it's false teaching on some quote-unquote Christian radio station. You notice it again, it says, in time past, notice, the unsaved person cannot help what they're doing. They're just following the course of this world. Following the devil himself all the way to hell. Notice the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But you notice here our past. Even when you're saved at a young age. I was saved when I was 7 years old. And yet I was still following the course of this world. As a young child, if I had not responded to the gospel, I believe I could have followed the course of this world all the way to hell. Even from a Baptist church. Notice again it says, we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So again, we think about this the course of this world. You think about the fads of our world. I was reminded of this here recently, as I was listening to a preacher talk about this, and I thought back to some of your books and so on. And you think about, you look back and say, you look at what you wore as a teenager, and you would not be caught dead in that now. But boy, what if you weren't doing it then? You were out on the outside. And I often think, too, as far as ties, you just keep them long enough and they'll come back around. You know, you think about some of the fads that were back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. Just wait a little while and they all swing back around. You know, they remanufacture them, they promote them. And then if you're not, you know, if you're not wearing those things, then you're on the outside. That amazes me that, these rebellious teenagers will go out and do whatever the world wants to do. Because I'm free, I can do whatever I want. No, you're not doing whatever you want. You're following the course of this world. So again, we notice here again the fulfilling of the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The unsaved person does what they want in their flesh and in their mind. They're following the course of this world. They'll follow it all the way to hell. Notice with me in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Again, we're seeing here what the Holy Spirit has to deal with as He deals with the world. The course of this world. Reproving the world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Here John writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All right, so you notice here, if I have a love for the world, then I do not love. I can't do it both ways. So many who claim to be a Christian, who obviously love the world, and yet they say, oh yeah, I love God. Prove it. You notice here again, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If they're following the course of this world, they do not love God the Father. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Again, we saw this back in Ephesians 2. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Again, this world is going down a course, down a path, all the way to hell. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Notice chapter 4 then, 1 John chapter 4. So we think about the Holy Spirit having to deal with reproving the world. It says in 1 John 4 verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. So we're talking about spiritual teaching here, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Boy, is that ever true now. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. All right, so check their doctrinal statement out. Check what they believe about Jesus Christ. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. John's writing this 1900 years ago. And he says it's already in the world now. How much more we have it today. Right. Ye are of God, little children. Notice this contrast. The world and those who are of God. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. All right, so some megachurch pastor, preacher, who has the multitudes wanting to hear him. As he does not use scripture in many cases, The world is hearing them. Why? Because they're all a part of the preacher and everyone. All is a part of the course of this world. They're following the ways of this world. They are the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. Again, this contrast here. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If they have no desire whatsoever for the truth, they're probably not saved. That's the reality of it. If they don't want to hear the truth, whether it's a soft-spoken preacher or a loud preacher, it doesn't matter. If they want nothing to do with the truth, they are probably not of us, as John emphasizes. Again, they're following the course of this world. John chapter 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. One more reference here to the world. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Oh, wait a minute. The whole world lieth in wickedness? I have a pretty religious neighbor. They do good things in the neighborhood. They even went up and helped flood victims and all those things. I've got some very good neighbors. But they don't believe. They are of the world. I want you to think about how Satan does this. Sometimes he uses the blinders of religion. People doing good works to keep them on the course of this world. Good religion will take somebody all the way to hell. It's only a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that will save them from hell. So how does the Spirit reprove the world? First of all, he uses the Word of God. Notice with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. How does the Holy Spirit reprove the world? By the way, somebody who looks at creation is without excuse, but that does not mean they're going to be saved by doing that. Again, you have to know the truth. God uses the Word of God to present the truth to them so that they know what they need to do. And I really believe that God, as the Holy Spirit's working as far as general revelation, you know, the conscience, creation, and those things, as they begin to respond to that, I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, will give further witness to them. Notice it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Talking here to Timothy, it says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I'll pause here just a moment for our young people. I want you to think about this, young people. Listen very carefully. You better make sure you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Because one of the things I've noticed as a young person grows up in church and they do not make a profession, or do not place their faith, I should say. They make a profession maybe, but they don't place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In essence, you become inoculated to it. I know what it's all about. Knowing it in your head and not believing it in your heart is a big difference between heaven and hell. Young people, young people, young people, make sure you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just that you've heard it. I've heard of many times, many situations, where young people grow up in a Baptist Bible preaching church. They're not saved until later in life because they heard it and they just assume that they believed it. Notice it says, the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Notice, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, that's teaching. Notice this, for reproof. The Word of God is given for reproof. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Drop down to chapter 4 then. I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. It's the word of God, not my fancy presentation of the gospel that's going to win somebody to Christ. I must preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Notice this. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So how do you do this? I believe Jesus gives us the example. As he's talking to the woman at the well. Yeah, you've had five husbands. Now, obviously, Jesus knew about that. But you think about those who are living in the course of this world. They need to understand that they're a sinner before a holy God. So you talk to the average person on the course that's going all the way to hell. I'm not that bad of a person. I try to do some good things. I'm not that bad of a person to deserve hell. That's their thinking. Reprove. Notice again, the word of God is used to reprove. Rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. They don't want to hear the truth because they don't want to be reproved. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, I'm emphasizing, in fact, it may be more than just a few verses in Romans that we have to present. In fact, if you look at the context, Romans 6:23 is actually written to believers and not unsaved. Romans 6 and 7, talking about a sanctified life of the Christian. You know, it might be a nice little presentation, but we may need to know more than a few verses in the book of Romans to lead somebody to Christ. In fact, what's interesting is the Apostle Paul reasoned with people out of the Scriptures. Notice it says here in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Right? So these are the ones that are on the course of this world. They're on this course all the way to hell. Notice it says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. All right, you talk to the average person about the Word of God. The average person that's on the, religious or not, I don't get that. Who are you to tell me that I'm... Notice, it's foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Well, there's a lot of people who want to dispute in this world today. You try to present the truth to them, they'll have a dispute with you. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Notice, with their wisdom, they do not know God. Through their evolution, whatever the case may be. Evolution is just one example of all this. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I want you to consider again the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the Word of God is how God the Holy Spirit reproves the world. Also, separated living of us as believers. Notice Ephesians chapter 5. How else does the Holy Spirit... This is why we must live differently than the world. Because the Holy Spirit can take our life and bring reproof. I want you to notice this here in Ephesians chapter 5. Notice verse 1 and following here. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Be different. Be separated from them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world, light in the Lord, I should say. Walk as children of light. But the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Again, the fruit of the Spirit produces a change in our lives, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, notice this, reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Remember, Jesus said, we are the light of the world. We are to shine brightly so that they see their life is not right. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Notice also 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, separated living is a way that the Holy Spirit will use, or what the Holy Spirit will use, to reprove the world of the things that they need to be reproved of. It says 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. I want you to consider Jesus Christ took our sin upon himself. Took it within himself. He became sin for us. Now, by way of application, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. My desire should be the will of God, not these worldly lusts in the course of this world. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. All right, you think about the drunkenness and the wickedness that's mentioned there. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil. Hey, why don't you come over to the bar with us tonight and have a beer? No, thank you. Well, why not? Well, maybe some other time. Why don't you come over and have a beer with me? No, thank you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick. They think it strange you don't partake with them. So let me ask you, like a lot of the mega churches today teach, you know, they're beer brewing and all that. You sit around and have a beer with your unsaved neighbor. You're going to win them to Christ? Or then they think, you're just like me. They're going to think you're on the course of this. Well, they're not going to think exactly this. But they're going to think that you're on the same course as them. That's why we must live differently in this world. Or the Holy Spirit cannot use a testimony to bring reproof to the world. Consider also, he uses preaching of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:5 says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Hebrews 11:7 says that he condemned the world. How did Noah do that? As he's building the ark, of course that was a testimony in itself that God was going to bring judgment. But as he's building this ark, he's also preaching for 120 years. God will allow you in the ark. He's going to judge the world. I really believe the world, the course of this world, they mocked Noah. But when that door was shut, and all of a sudden it's raining for the first time in history, more than 1,000 years, all of a sudden they're realizing, Noah is right, I am wrong. Can you imagine how many of them were pounding, Noah, 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 let us in! And it wasn't just rain. It says the fountains of the deep broke up. And it says also the heavens opened. I believe that was the firmament of heaven. Can you imagine the tsunami effect that it had on this world globally? The only ones who could survive for a little while climbed mountains. But even the mountains were covered by water. It says he condemned the world. Why? Because of what he was preaching and the life that he backed up. Again, I want you to think about this. Preaching of righteousness condemns the world. We saw this example in our Sunday school lesson, but notice in Acts 24 once again. So the Apostle Paul is dealing with Felix. I want you to see again here how the Holy Spirit uses this to bring conviction and reproof. That does not mean that everyone will be saved when they are experiencing this reproof. But I want you to consider our responsibility is to be a testimony and a witness so that the Holy Spirit can use the truth and work in their hearts. Acts 24, verse 24. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And notice here, as he reasoned of righteousness. All right, so he's presenting his faith. As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance is not self-control if you do a study of that in Scripture. It's a fruit of the Spirit that in which the Holy Spirit helps me control my flesh. Temperance, what Roman had temperance? Not very many. And judgment to come. Oh, when he starts talking about judgment to come, Felix begins to tremble. And answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. So as we present the truth to them, the Holy Spirit will take the truth and bring conviction and reproof to their hearts. Now, as we saw in John chapter 16, there's three different areas in which the Holy Spirit will reprove the world. First of all, of sin. Because it says they believe not on Christ. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you talk to most people in our world today, they're not believing in Jesus Christ. They're not even believing in Muhammad. They're not believing in any religious leader. They're believing in themselves. I'm a pretty good person. I think I can make it to heaven. Or they'll say it this way. You have your way, I have mine. What are they doing? They're trying to be saved in their own name. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit brings reproof to the world because they believe not on Him. John 14:6, of course, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. I don't care what Billy Graham said. I don't care what any other religious leader says. No man is getting to the Father other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, to stand in the Crystal Cathedral and say that I used to believe that Jesus was the only way of salvation. But now I come to realize that God is going to find another way for somebody who has not heard the gospel to be saved. That is heresy. It's encouraging people to stay right on that course of the world all the way to hell. Notice with me John chapter 8. Let's just see what Jesus said here about that. The Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin because they do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what sin is it that sends people to hell? Let's see, John chapter 8, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. You're of this world. I am from above. Ye are this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. Notice this, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, first, I want you to consider that it's not baptism that saves. You know, the Church of Christ say that until you go through the waters of baptism, the transaction is not complete. Church of Christ is on the course of this world going all the way to hell. There's a lot of Protestant churches who will teach that until an infant has sprinkled or had water poured on them, they are part of the church. Once they're a part of the church, they're in. There's a lot of Protestants on the course of this world going all the way to hell. The Catholic Church. The Catholic Church says if you keep these seven sacraments, you still have to go to purgatory. You still have to have that time of purging. But after purgatory, you'll get to the other side. The Roman Catholic Church with more than, I think it was 1 billion people on that course, all the way to hell. It's not baptism. It's not church attendance. Even as our cards say, the church didn't die for you. The Lord Jesus is the one who sacrificed his shed blood. A church did not die for you. Church attendance and membership won't get you there. Doing good things. Saying prayers. The Pharisees said prayers. I want you to consider the sin. What is the sin that damns people to hell? The sin, Jesus said it. Because they believe not on me. I want you to think about this. I said, we're talking to an unsaved person and we tell them, you shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't be a drunkard. So let me ask you. If we say that to them and they give up their alcohol, they're going to heaven? Oh, you're a womanizer. Okay, so if he stops chasing after women, is he going to heaven? It doesn't matter what sin they give up. They're still on the course all the way to hell. The one sin that damns people to hell is what Jesus said. They believe not on me. Let's read Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. Jesus said to the Jews around him, you're of this world because you don't believe on me. They're on this course of this world. Verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is, what is God the Father's will? That everyone believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation. What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many will say to me in that day. So here's many religious people will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Well, that sounds like some word of faith teacher or something like that. And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Notice what Jesus says. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The reality is, there could be people from a Baptist church end up in hell. Why? They didn't believe on Jesus Christ. They're trusting in something else on the course all the way to hell. Notice Matthew 25, another example of this. The reproving work of the Holy Spirit is of sin because they do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The one sin that damns people to hell. Well, they can give up their sodomite lifestyle. They can give up their lying, whatever the case, and still go to hell. Matthew 25, notice here the wise and foolish virgins. This is a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ told. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom, of course, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were what? I want you to consider here that half of them were wise, half of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. As we understand in Scripture, oil is a picture of what? The Holy Spirit. So 5 had oil, the Holy Spirit, 5 did not. When do we receive the Holy Spirit? At the time of salvation. So, we see here that they have no evidence of salvation in their lives. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. By the way, you're not getting to heaven on the basis of somebody else. You have to have your own oil, the Holy Spirit. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went there or went to buy, the bridegroom came. They won't be ready. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Notice it's shut. It's closed. There's no other opportunity. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Lord, Lord, we saw that in Matthew 7, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I want to point out something here. They all looked the same. I remember somebody talking about a survey that they did of Baptist churches. And based on the response that they got from the survey of Baptist churches, they determined that as many as half of churches, Baptist churches, are not saved. I used to say, it's not my purpose to cause doubt in your heart. But I'm rethinking that some as we progress closer and closer to the end times. I would rather create doubt in your heart because you have a false assurance of salvation than to minimize the fact that you may still be on a course all the way to hell. So what are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? Just because you're in a Baptist church today doesn't mean you're going to heaven. What is the gospel? I'm going to say this. Ask again. What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ did for me. It's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to consider very seriously. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin because they do not believe in Christ. Also of righteousness. Jesus says, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. I want you to think about why that's so important. The Holy Spirit had to judge the world of righteousness. Why? Because the pattern of righteousness was not going to be here. Who's more righteous than the Lord Jesus Christ? Anyone here? My hand's not up. If Jesus Christ goes to heaven, the pattern of righteousness won't be here anymore. So the Holy Spirit reproves the world of righteousness because Jesus Christ will no longer be here. He's the perfect standard of righteousness. He returned to heaven. You think about what people say. Well, I think I'm good enough to get to heaven. What are they saying? I'm like Christ. If somebody says, I think I'm good, I can do enough good to get to heaven, they are claiming by their statement that they are as good as Christ. I don't think they're that good. Notice in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Actually, let's look at verse 9. Paul asks questions related to what I just said. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. Are Jews better than Gentiles and so on? For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they're all under sin. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not one of us can be righteous enough. In fact, Isaiah says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. By the way, it's not your seeking God, it's God seeking you. Do you realize that God has done everything possible for everyone to be saved? Obviously not everyone's going to. They're all gone out of the way, they're together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. This is the evidence. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. A lot of deceit in our world today. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Oh, wow. Whoa, there's a description of our world today. There's times it's like, Lord, I need my ears sanctified, what I had to hear this morning as I'm at work. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that, notice this, believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Holy Spirit reproves the world of righteousness because Jesus Christ went to the Father. And there is no one that is perfectly righteous. Last of all, the Holy Spirit reproves the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Let's look at Romans chapter 1 while we're right here. Romans chapter 1. Again, we've seen that this world is on a course all the way to hell. I want you to consider here who's leading this course, the devil himself. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God has revealed himself to creation through conscience, as we see in chapter 2 and so on, but they've ignored God's testimony. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But nobody's going to say that at the great white throne. But I never... No one is going to say that. God has done everything possible so that they can believe. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise as professors, they became fools. The word fools, if I remember right, is from the Greek word we get the word moron from. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, the birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. I embarrassed a Mustang driver the other day. Our 2006 Buick passed a new Mustang going across 33. At least if I was driving a Mustang, I would have been embarrassed by a Buick passing me. He had his top down on his car, and he was just out enjoying the sunshine the other day. And my Buick passed him because he was going 50 to 55. Yeah, it's about average. Anyway, that's another story. But I mean, think about this. Why does our world call a car, a four-footed beast, a Mustang, instead of just being satisfied, it's a Ford? You see, we worship these things. You know how I know that? You put a dent in that brand new Mustang, and you'll find out how much that guy's worshiping that Mustang, that four-footed beast. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. Now, again, I want you to consider, as they're on this course, the course of this world, God says, all right, go at it. Three times in this passage, it says God gave them up, God gave them over. All right, if the world's determined to go down their course, God says, go ahead. God says, go ahead all the way to hell. You notice here verse 28 then. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Why? Because they want to pursue their lusts. That's why they want evolution. That's why they want all the, they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Then notice this catalog of sins in our world today. Being filled with all unrighteousness. This is our world. These are unbelievers. Being filled with all unrighteousness. So if somebody who professes to be a follower of God is filled with all unrighteousness, they're probably not a follower of God. Fornication. Wickedness. The crazy idea of all kinds of depravity. Covetousness. Maliciousness. Sometimes we refer to somebody as a malicious gossip. Full of envy. Oh, I wish I had what they had. Murder. We've seen here recently that Jesus says that murder starts with anger in the heart. Debate. How many of you have listened to Sean Hannity or Fox News here lately? That's what that's all about. You know, they put a liberal up against a conservative, and that's how they get good ratings. It's all based on debate. Deceit. How many of you believe everything you're told in our wicked world today? Malignity. I had to do a reminder of what the word malignity means. If you have a malignant tumor, what you think about the malignity speaks of extreme enmity. You know, they have a hatred and an ill will towards somebody. Malignity, I should say. I lost my place here. Whisperers. Backbiters. As I thought about this, backbiters. Thought about some dogs. How do most dogs attack? They circle around and catch you from the back side of your leg, right? Pretty much that's how I've been bitten by dogs over the years. I remember when we were on deputation, I informed a pastor that where we were staying in a prophet's chamber, I had to go up to the parsonage. It was on the church property. Well, the dog didn't like me crossing the line. Evidently, there was this creek, and the dog knew where the property line for the house was and the church. So I went up and told the pastor we were there, and so we were going to be moving into the prophet's chamber for a few days. And as I was heading back down the driveway, all of a sudden, his dog tried to grab onto my leg. Well, he only got a hold of the pant leg and tore my pant leg open. Well, the pastor saw this. He said, oh, sorry about that. Okay, we're on deputation. We each have two outfits each with us in our car, our Saturn. And I just had a huge hole tore in the back leg of one of my pants, a pair of pants. He didn't replace them. But you think about this. That's a picture of a backbiter going around and biting somebody from the backside. So I guess we won't have roast preacher for lunch now, so thank you. But you notice it says, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. I'm sorry, but I think of some of these examples. But this kid hollered to his friend walking down the street, Hey, what's happening? To which that young kid hollered back, you're looking at him. Life doesn't revolve around you, I'm sorry. Boasters, proud. Again, all these things. This is the course of this world. Inventors of evil things, looking for new ways to sin. Oh, disobedient to parents. Young people, if you're determined to disobey your parents, are you saved? I ask. This is evidence of the course of this world. I'm not talking about, oh, yeah, occasionally I disobey. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when there's a mindset, if my parents say it, I'm going to do the opposite. You better check your spiritual condition. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, they know they're having judgment coming for this. Not only do they do these things, do the same, but have pleasure in them that they hang out with those who will do it with them. The Holy Spirit reproves the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Hebrews 2:14 says, through death Jesus destroyed him that had power over death, the devil. 1 John 3 talks also about Jesus Christ coming to destroy the works of the devil. As we close, notice Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. While you're turning, though, let me remind you of the wording of Proverbs chapter 1. They would have none of the reproof of the wisdom, God's wisdom crying out. They would have none of it. That's our world. That's the course of this world. So let me ask you, are we in the course of this world, or are we a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? It says the devil, verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. This is the final destruction, the eternal judgment of the devil. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Remember I said the Holy Spirit convicts the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. This is his final judgment. He's just not had the final sentencing yet. He's already on his way here. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now, again, as we're continuing our theme, this is a representation of the people that followed the course of this world. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Their works give evidence of their heart. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. By the way, this is the only time, as we see, you know, Luke 16, various places, this is the only time they're going to not be in hellfire. Hell will be removed to the great white throne before they're cast forever in a lake of fire. They were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. You notice the word, cast. They were, oh, they follow the course of this world. Some of them were even religious. They followed the devil all the way to hell. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Only you and the Holy Spirit know where you are today. Only you and the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. His reproof. Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? I'm not talking about a false assurance. Do you know? Do you know that you're not following the course of this world? Because you've placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, the Holy Spirit is either your comforter. And right now, the Holy Spirit, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, right now the Holy Spirit's saying, you've trusted. That's what Romans says. He witnesses with our spirit that we're the children of God. But if you're struggling with a lot of doubt right now because of the reproof of the Holy Spirit, I would suggest today you get that settled in your heart. Will you stand with me here this morning? He's either the comforter or the reprover.